Oh, I'm glad you're here. Professor Stuart Harmon, Professor McGill, Professor Hunt, Coach. I want to mix it up for my kids with Moment in History. And
Okay.
we're entering our chapter in US government, and because of the recent election, I figured, wouldn't it be fun to do a president?
Yeah.
But I don't want to do presidents where the kids might know. I want to actually teach them something. So I'm teaching the next class on the great emancipator himself, Abraham Lincoln.
Ah,
Now
great.
let me tell you the story. I want to get your insight into this. So Abraham Lincoln was born in Sinking Spring, Kentucky. And he lived there until his early 20s when his family moved to New Salem, Illinois, because there was a disease going around, and they figured the easy, not that we can't relate to that, right? But there was a disease going around, so they moved to get away from it. While in New Salem, he got a job at Denton Offutt's General Store. And Denton, he ran the local general store in New Salem, and he was impressed by Lincoln because Lincoln was very smart. But he was also exceptionally strong. So much so that he used to brag to his customers about these feats of strength that Lincoln could do. Now, we've all seen pictures of Abraham Lincoln. He's tall and he's lanky. He doesn't look like he's a really strong guy, and that's why it was so surprising. Well, like many cities and towns of that time period, they had a local club, a local gang, if you will. Well, the local gang in New Salem, Illinois, was the Clary Grove Gang, and it was led by a man named Jack Armstrong. Now, these were just your typical early 20 punks, bored in a rural farm community. They would initiate newcomers. Like, one of the things they used to do was they'd harass and they'd haze people new to town. They'd play pranks. One of the pranks that was written about that the Clary Gang did was put a person in a barrel, hammer it shut, and then roll them down a hill. You know, fun, lighthearted harassment. But it was the
Jeez.
1800s, so obviously everything was, well, you'd get arrested for doing it now. Denton kept talking up how strong Lincoln was, and that got on Jack's nerves. Jack kept pushing and pushing for him to compete in a wrestling match, and Lincoln kept saying, "No, I don't want to fight you. I don't want to wrestle you." Lincoln was a peaceful guy. He was a calm guy. He didn't take the bait until he was pushed enough that he did. So one day, Jack challenged Lincoln to this wrestling match. Lincoln had enough, and they agreed to have their wrestling match in front of Offutt's store. So the day of the wrestling match comes, and what little amount of people who were still in town came to watch the match. It was a pretty good turnout. So they matched, and they were evenly matched during this wrestling match. I said match like four times there, but
A lot of matches. It's okay.
they were pretty much on the same level. Jack got frustrated and played dirty and tripped Lincoln.
What?
So Lincoln was pissed. So he stands up, grabs Jack, and slams him to the ground. Like, hard takedown. The rumors have it he grabbed him by the neck and with one hand picked him up and slammed him down. That to me is getting closer to tall tale than reality. So Jack's on the ground, or the rest of the Clary Grove gang got angry. I mean, they just saw their leader taken out by this tall, lanky kid. And they started going after Lincoln. Well, Jack, pushing himself to his feet, stopped him, right? Lincoln took him down, but it was a clean takedown. He kind of deserved it. Lincoln won the match. And later on, he and Jack actually became close friends. Lincoln is one of three presidents who's actually in the Wrestling Hall of Fame because of all of this. He loved wrestling. The thing is I'm not sure how this whole lead up and how this match really took place. That there's no record of winners or losers outside of this match. We know that Lincoln liked to wrestle, but we don't really know much of the details about it. And I was hoping that you could show me what it was like that day and the days before with the wrestling match of the Great Emancipator.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a great story.
And one that should be told.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, I'd love to hear, I'd love to see what you, how you interpret this.
Oh, my dear son Abraham, you are such a strong young man, but I'm afraid we are no longer going to be able to stay here in Kentucky with this horrible disease plaguing the land.
Aw, Mom!
I know, dearie, but I have high, high hopes for New Salem, Illinois!
All right, Mom.
It's gonna be great there.
I'm sure it is, Mom. I'm gonna get myself a job.
I believe in you, young Abraham.
Thanks, Mom.
Cut to New Salem, Illinois.
Oh, Abraham, you look so dashing in that beautiful suit. You are going to go get a job today. I am such a proud mother of you.
Thanks, Mom.
Go get him, son.
Thanks, Mom. Gonna go get him, Mom. All right, let's see. Okay, we got petty pockets, purse, pictures. Nope. Not gonna go there. We got Lionel Richie's Rocketeers. No, I'm not gonna go there. We got Gordon Goose's Grocers. No, that just that sounds too difficult. And we got Betty Crocker's Pancake Flapjack Hotspot. No, I'm not gonna go there. Okay. Oh, look at this. Look at this. We have Denton Offutt's General Store. I'm gonna go myself right in there. Excuse me, may I speak to the manager?
I'm right here.
Oh, hello. I'm not Karen. I'm Abraham. And I would like to know, sir, if it'd be possible for me to get a job here at this fine establishment.
Oh, you know, I have been looking for some work, some help. What are your qualifications?
Well, I'm tall.
Okay.
I'm lanky.
Okay.
Look inside yourself, son. You are a strong man.
Oh, okay, man. I'm very strong,
who's
so I can
lady
help.
Outside the window.
Look, we're very close, me and my mom. Okay, we're very close, me
oh,
and my mom.
Your mom.
I got a great
She's
mom.
Here to support you. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I got a great mom. And I can lift heavy things like barrels of fish and buckets of flour.
Great. And you know, you look like an honest kid. Young man. And yeah, I could use some help around the store. Here's an apron.
This apron is great. Thank you so much. I'm just going to tie it on. How do I look?
Hey, Denton.
Hey, Jack.
Oh, God. Give me a cherry fountain soda and 12 scratchers.
Sir, I'll get the cherry soda.
Oh, that's great. See, I love your gumption.
Let me just lift this machine up.
Oh,
I'm just gonna lift this machine up and carry it over to the counter and put it down.
You are strong. I'm glad I hired you.
Who the hell is this extremely strong newcomer?
Thank you. My name is Abe. Pleasure to meet you, sir. Jack, sir.
Hi. Yep, my name's Jack. I'm glad you're able to guess that so easily. Oh, is it the name tag that I'm wearing that says Jack?
It was actually the storekeeper who said your name, but that's okay.
Oh, well, that, you know what, two for two. Look, I kind of run this here town. It used to be called Old Salem, and then I came to town. Now it's New Salem. This is my town, baby boy. And if you don't like the way I run things, then I recommend you take off that apron and you head back to wherever the hell your mom birthed you.
Don't let him push you around, Abe. Don't let him push you around. You've got to stand up to him.
Here's your cherry soda.
Hey, Jack, sorry to interrupt you. There's a big pile of hort. Hey, who's the tall, lanky guy?
Hey.
I wonder if he'd fit in a barrel, Jack.
That's kind of what I was thinking myself. Let's see. We need kind of a...
Listen, fellas, I think you should just be running along. Abe, you don't pay any attention to them.
Let me just take some quick measurements. He's 6'12" and 6 inches around. Okay, I'll find a barrel that suits that.
Yeah, you know what you should think about, boss, is maybe going about some wrestling. I'm going to go get myself a pile of horse dung.
I'm sorry. Thank you so much for the offer, but I would not like to wrestle you.
Here are your scratchers.
Oh, thank you so much. My back has been itching me something fierce.
Well, please hold 1 second. 1 second. I just need to go to the window. Ma'am.
Yes. Yes, Abraham.
Ma'am, they said wrestle.
Well, Abraham, you are a strong man and quite tall. It's remarkable how you came out of me. However, I believe that you have the strength to defeat anything you put your mind to. Perhaps you could go on to change this whole country.
But ma'am,
believe in yourself, Abraham.
But ma'am, that's why we had to leave the last town, because I picked up our house and I moved it to the other side of the street where the grass was greener.
Abraham, I'm not paying you to talk to your mother.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sir, I'm sorry. I'm coming back. Mom, I gotta go.
You wrestle Abraham and you defeat him.
Fine.
Hey, baby doll. Are you new in town?
Oh, well, yes, I am. But I don't speak to the likes of gang runners.
Man, wait. You better just move along. You don't want to hang around with the likes of these two.
Excuse me, Jack. That's my ma'am. That is my ma'am you're talking to. And when you talk to my ma'am like that, that's when I wrestle. Wait. Look, I don't have anything to prove. I got nothing to prove to you.
You defend my honor.
Mom, I love you.
I love you too, Abraham.
I got nothing to prove to you, Sir Jack. Gang Jack. Jack and your gang that runs this town. But if you want to wrestle, let's do this. Let me just take off this awesome apron. I don't want it to limit my movements. Talk to my mom.
All right. Well, if we're going to do this, we should probably invite everyone to the center of town. Denton, do you mind providing light refreshments?
Sure. I'll have Abe bring some refreshments along.
Thank you.
Since he's so strong.
I'll just bring the cherry machine out, sir.
Cut to the morning of the match.
Oh, thank God for these back scratchers. Oh, man.
Okay, you got this. You got this. Just loosen up. Loosen those shoulders.
One, two. One, two. High knees.
Remember, Abraham, mommy loves you.
Ma'am, I love you.
All right, now, Reggie, don't forget, you need to narrate the entire fight. It's very important that all the people in the back who can't see are able to hear exactly, move for move, what's happening.
Welcome to Fight Day! Here in New Salem, Illinois, we have future heavyweight champion of New Salem, Jack Armstrong!
Oh, baby!
Look at him.
He's tall, he's honest, he's lanky as the day is long, Abraham Lincoln!
Hi, ma'am.
You go get them, Abraham.
Love you, Mom.
Look, kid, I got 75 cents riding on this. You better not let me down.
75 cents? Oh, gosh, gee, Willikers, I didn't know that you believed in me that much, sir. I'm really not in this to prove anything, but if you got 75 cents in this game, you got it all.
Well, don't come back to the store if you don't win.
Oh, gee whiz, I need this job. My mom would be so disappointed.
The opponents take the ring. Tonight's fight is brought to you by Ford's Theater. When you're looking for a night that'll blow your mind, remember Ford's Theater. Lincoln's in the corner. Lincoln slowly, cautiously approaches Armstrong. Armstrong grabs Lincoln, and Lincoln doubles. There's a counter move. Armstrong attempts the fireman's carry, and Lincoln, being 12 feet tall, simply steps over him.
Excuse me.
That's my baby.
Armstrong moves in for the slam, and Lincoln deftly steps aside. This match is becoming a draw.
All right, I need a quick timeout. Reggie, go get me a sarsaparilla, please.
Oh, you got a boss. I'll be right back there. Okay.
Get me a bucket to spit in too. That'd be.
All right.
I've been carrying this. All right,
Armstrong, I can jack it, but look, I got you a bucket of sarsaparilla and a bottle to spit in.
Perfect.
This is a lovely afternoon. Thank you for inviting me to this fight.
Listen, kid, I just made another 50-cent bet, so we're up to our $1.25.
Oh, my goodness, Mom, do you believe in me? I need you.
I do. In fact, I have a whole quarter in on you.
Oh, my Lord, there's a lot of money. Okay, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, Mom.
Do your mother proud.
We're getting back into round two of the match. Round two is brought to you by Emancipation Station, your favorite place for Tin Pan Alley tunes. That's Emancipation Station. And Lincoln takes the field. Armstrong walks up. Armstrong apparently has an untied shoe. He bends over to tie it. No, he grabs a handful of dirt. It goes in Lincoln's face.
Oh.
Armstrong reaches out and grabs a leg. Oh. Lincoln goes down.
Oh, my baby boy.
Oh, baby.
Excuse me, sir.
I can't wait to take your mom on a date.
Excuse me, sir.
Lincoln begins to get bigger. He appears to be turning a sickly shade of green as he grabs Armstrong by the neck. It's over his head. Armstrong is dangling, and he's down.
You don't play dirty and you don't talk about my mem.
Sorry to have done that to you, sir.
Now, I reckon nobody goes picks up our boss by the neck and slams him on the ground. We're gonna have to teach you the right way.
Wait, time out, boys. Boys, don't worry. You don't need to avenge my honor. I was beat fair and square by this tall, lanky alien man. He might be new in town, but he's a strong fellow with a beautiful mother.
You know, I appreciate you saying that.
So we're gonna respect this, and he won fair and square. Here, as a token of my gratitude for competing in this fight, here's a sarsaparilla that I accidentally spat into because I got confused.
You know, boss, it seems like the only thing left to do is for us to go throw someone in a barrel, roll them down a hill.
Thank you for watching tonight's fight. Tonight's match was brought to you by the as-yet-to-be-named Playlogs. With your own Playlogs, you can build your very own log cabin. Playlogs, coming to a store near you.
I love log cabins. Jack? I respect what you just said about me, and I was hoping that maybe we could hang out and play some Nintendo 92 on a piece of wood and some branches. It's my favorite thing to do. My mom taught me.
That sounds like the greatest thing anyone's ever said to me. Nobody ever wants to play Nintendo 94 with me. They just want to roll people in barrels into rivers.
That's so mean. Do you want to be best friends? Best friends.
Yes.
Look at my best friend. Two boys becoming besties.
Hi, ma'am. Love you.
Oh, mom's proud of you, Abraham.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. I hope they don't kick us out of here, too.
Wow. Thank you so much. I mean, there are elements of that story that I never even realized happened.
If that's not how it went down, I'd be shocked.
Absolutely. Sounds realistic to me.
I can't thank you enough. This is definitely going to entertain my students. Professor Green, Professor Hunt, Professor Dubois, Professor McGill, I'm glad you're here.
Good day.
The history lectures I've been giving to the kids are really taking off. They're loving it, but they want something a little more modern.
Okay.
And I know that Coach Steve is coming off his big win for the virtual football game that we just had at Thanksgiving. And
yes.
Go Madden, go Dashers.
Yeah, Dashers.
Great.
And I figured in honor of him and his success at his first win, that I would teach a class about a sandwich.
Huh.
But I need your help in translating the events on how this sandwich played an important part. So it was March 23rd, 1965, Florida. Gemini 3 was set to be the first U.S. mission to carry two astronauts into space. Right, John Young and Gus Grissom. We were in a rush. We were in a race against the Soviets, who, not a week earlier, managed to get two of their own astronauts into space on Voskhod 2.
That's right, yeah.
So tensions were high. Everything had to be perfect. The launch came. The rocket took off. Gemini 3 is in orbit. We did it. Right. Two American astronauts on one mission in space completed their objectives. It was a perfect day.
Yeah.
But it was not without controversy. There was contraband in the capsule.
What?
Contraband that could have realistically killed both men and destroyed the $30 million capsule.
Holy God.
What was it?
John Young smuggled a corned beef sandwich on the mission.
What?
So before liftoff, obviously, astronaut and world-renowned prankster Wally Schirra picked up a sandwich from a deli in Florida. It was Wolfie's Restaurant and Sandwich Shop and at the Ramada Inn, right? So he goes to the Ramada Inn at Cocoa Beach and he grabs a corned beef sandwich and gives it to Young, who slipped it into his flight suit. John didn't think it was a big deal. They were literally going to test astronaut food on that mission. So he just figured, hey, one more thing.
Right.
So they're in orbit. It's a 6-hour mission. They're really relatively quiet. This is what they picked up on the flight recorder. Grissom. What is it? Young. Corned beef sandwich. Where did that come from? I brought it with me. You want to see how it tastes? Smells, doesn't it? So Grissom took a bite of the sandwich.
Oh, geez.
And then immediately, quickly announced, it's going back in his suit. And the next thing they picked up is John finishing a sentence saying, a thought, not a very good one. And Grissom saying, pretty good, though, if it would just hold together. And that's the problem. When Grissom took a bite, the bread began to break up and crumbs started floating around everywhere in the cabin.
These crumbs
could have gotten to the air intake and clogged it. It could have gotten into the electrical relays and shorted out the capsule. This sandwich was a legitimate threat to their lives and mission. So they are back. They land, but it was so serious that Congress launched investigations.
Wow.
They ended up labeling the corned beef sandwich as the $30 million sandwich. So during the testimony, George Mueller, who was then NASA's associate administrator for manned spaceflight, says, and I quote, "We've taken steps to prevent recurrence of corned beef sandwiches in future flights." Now, Young's lasting reply to all of this in his book, John Young passed away in 2015. Prior to that, he wrote a book called Forever Young. His take on the event was, it didn't even have mustard on it.
Ah, bummer.
Right. So, I mean, I understand. I understand that Wally picked up the sandwich, gave it to John. I know John smuggled it on the flight.
Right.
Grissom took the bite of it. I know the facts, but there are nuances and details that I need to know to convey to my class. And I was hoping that the four of you in your infinite wisdom could help me work that out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. No, any way we can help. Yeah.
Cut to Congress, 1965.
Oh, God.
Harumph, harumph.
All right. I can't believe we're on day three about talking about this $30 million corned beef sandwich thing.
Didn't even have
so
mustard.
Hungry. But, I know.
All right. I'd like to bring to the stand Wally. Wally, who purchased the sandwich. Now, Wally, can you tell us a little bit about where you got the sandwich and what was going through your mind when that happened?
Sure. Yeah. I went over to Wolfie's. Wolfie's is my favorite neighborhood sandwich shop, and I thought that they would just make the finest sandwich that could go into space, and so I got a corned beef sandwich there, and I thought it would be really good on a crusty baguette.
Flashback, Wolfie's Diner.
Sandwiches! Got your sandwiches here! Sandwiches! Best corned beef sandwiches here! Got your sandwiches!
Hey, I'd like a sandwich.
But, yeah, got a sandwich here. What kind of sandwich do you want?
I want your best corned beef sandwich. And I like the looks of that crusty baguette there.
Right, yeah, I got a baguette here. I'm gonna get a baguette over here. We're gonna make a roast beef sandwich over here. What would you like on it? Is there any mustard?
No.
Got the mustard.
No mustard.
No.
Okay, I got. Never mind.
Yeah, don't need the mustard there, sir. Put it back, sir.
It's back. It's
like
back.
This, sandwich here, sir. Do you want this bread? Is very breakable, so be careful, sir.
That's. I think that's gonna make it even better.
You want pickles?
We have the corned beef here, sir.
No, pickles. No pickles.
Okay, no pickles here, sir.
Guys, put the pickles back.
Pickles back, sir.
Okay. Really, just corned beef and crusty, flaky bread, please.
One moment, sir. Well, crusty bread, sir. Get this bread of this bread. I want crustier bread, sir.
No, guys, go back to the crusty part.
Excuse me. Are we almost done here? I got to place my order. I got to get back to work.
No being pushy here, ma'am. No pushy here. We sell sandwiches here.
All right.
Ma'am, this is a very important sandwich that I'm purchasing.
Oh, really?
I've said too much.
Thank you for the crusty bread, sir. All right. We got a sandwich here. Here's a sandwich. Enjoy this sandwich, huh? Corned beef sandwich for you.
Thank you, and come back to Wolfie's.
I will.
Get your sandwich here, ma'am. Now your turn, ma'am. Pushy ma'am, bossy ma'am.
Thanks. Yeah, that's me. I would like a...
Cut to Congress, 1965.
So, yeah, I just got... corned beef on crusty baguette.
Excuse me, Mr. Shearer. Two questions.
Sure.
Number one, is it true that your occupation is a professional prankster? Number two, is it true that you placed this whoopee cushion in my chair earlier this morning?
I'm not sure what you would call a professional prankster. If you mean in the sense that I get paid, then no, ma'am, I am not a professional. If you mean professional in the sense of I'm really damn good at it, then yes, I am a professional. And I don't know about that whoopee cushion. I think it could have been Senator Jenkins over there.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, that, yeah, it was Jenkins.
White guy from a state in the Union here. Old white guy. Wondering, sir, how did it happen that you happened to put the sandwich in his hands?
Oh, well, that's a funny story. I'm so glad you asked. I had him over the night before the mission, and I said, "Hey, I've got a surprise for you, but I need to show up in the morning and give it to you, but you can't ask any questions."
Cut to the morning of March 23rd.
Hey, Wally.
Hey, John. What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Hey, so I got that surprise that I mentioned. I'm surprised they let me through security because this seems like it should be locked down a little tighter. But anyway, just close your eyes and turn around.
All right. So you want me to take this up on the Gemini mission, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Gemini crickets, I do.
All right. What?
So, when you get up there, the initial contact and everything kind of dies down and the chatter dies down and you think that it might be a good time and your stomach might be growling a little bit, reach into your right pocket.
All right. What, now, is this something I should keep from Grissy or?
Oh, no, I think you should both enjoy it. I think it'd be kind of a shared experience, if you will.
All right. That'll be fun. I'm a little worried because you're kind of a prankster. You have those business cards
no.
saying that you're a prankster and everything.
No, there's no pranks in this one. This is just me being a good friend.
Almost time to go up into space over here.
Oh, that's my call. Thank you, right, space.
Buddy. Good luck and come back alive, all right?
I'll try. That's kind of my ultimate goal.
Cut to Congress. 1965.
Oh, well, I guess that explains
it. Strom Thurgood here. I want to say to y'all, describe to me the events of the afternoon of March 23rd, 1965, when you took that commie sandwich and tried to destroy the mission. What possessed you to eat corned beef, all un-American things, up in that space capsule?
Well, John Young here, thank you. I just want to state that Wally got the sandwich for me, so I didn't have a choice in it, although he does know that my favorite sandwich is corned beef. And the reason that we brought that up is because we were testing astronaut food on the Gemini mission. Now, this is fine, but I have a very sensitive stomach, and sometimes I need a nice deli sandwich on really crusty bread. And this was crusty. This was, like, bottom-of-the-shelf crust. And honestly, Gus was all about it too.
I was not.
Dead. So it, Gus, come on, really?
I'm sorry, Congress.
You were. Gus, you had a bite. Do you remember what we talked about, Gus? That when we were in the capsule.
Cut to the capsule, March 23rd, 1965.
All right, dude, like, I'm gonna push this button here, and then I do, like, this button here, and then, hey, that dad, twist the knob.
Shh. Gus, here, have that.
What? Huh?
Have this.
What? What is it? Dad, what is that?
It's a corned beef sandwich.
What, dude? You've got a corned beef cat? My head is spacey, you fucking crazy, dude.
I brought it with me. Let's see how it tastes.
Oh, man. Dude, we are going to be in so much trouble. This is not space ice cream, dude. Dude.
No, it's not.
Dude, you are a baller.
It's from Wolfie's.
Gemini 3, this is Houston. We've lost communication. Everything all right up there?
Dude, sorry.
Gemini, we're good up here.
Sorry, Houston dudes. We are just having a blast looking at the outer space.
Excellent. We just wanted to check on you.
Gemini, capsule to ground control. This styrofoam ice cream block, it's delicious, by the way.
It's totally great.
Yep. You should have Wolfgang Puck do this again.
Greetings.
Oh. What, aliens?
Oh. Greetings. Dude. This is Mazork 5 intercepting.
Dude, what's up, Mazork? What's up, man?
Mazork?
I'm interrupting this transmission in order to query what business you have in this quadrant of the universe.
Okay, dude, hold on one second. One second, man.
And also, if you have any yummy foodstuffs for which to offer.
Oh, shit, man, she wants her sandwich, dude. She totally wants her sandwich. She knows it. Dude, you are so...
I need some noshing. I've been out for many more years.
What the fuck are Mark ears, dude? You are so screwed. I don't even.
I cannot let this sandwich go, Gus.
All right, hold on. I got this. Hey, Mayflower Fork. I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Mayfork.
Mayfork 5.
Mayfork. Mayf.
Affirmative, Earthling.
Yeah, sometimes I can't get the right accent.
You're doing great.
Hey. We're totally into sharing our space ice cream with you, but can you just, like, give us a second? Because we got something crusty that's totally not so severe.
I shall give you 60 seconds before I vaporize you with my plutonium modulator.
That sounds like a trip, dude. All right, hold on. Yeah.
You are such in so much trouble, dude!
I honestly didn't think it was gonna go this route. I'm so.
Give me a sandwich. Okay.
You can have it.
Okay. Are you ready, dude? Oh my god, I'm gonna be in so much trouble.
Oh my god, stuff's going everywhere. Put it in your pants.
Hang on. I'm gonna try to suck up some of the crumbs.
Dude. This doesn't even have mustard on it.
I didn't want to bring mustard into space.
This is Mazork 5. Do you have an answer? Do you have any yummy foodstuffs for me?
Oh, dude, I totally forgot about the alien chick, man. What are we going to do about her?
The sandwich is kind of dry, and it's really crummy. I think I made a mistake with the...
Dry and crummy is yummy.
Totally give it to the alien chick, dude, and then they won't know that you brought it up, dude.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Yes, we are astronauts.
Okay. Roll down your window. I will roll down mine. You will pass crummy yummy dry sandwich to
Mayflower, eat. Dude, this sandwich is Earth's best sandwich. It could use some mustard, but we want you. This is like a peace offering for you from us, mostly from Young's parents, but it's fine.
It was in my pants.
Thank you. Nice and warm. And you are much nicer than those Russians that passed by a week ago.
Those guys are dicks.
They are total dicks, yo. And I will also take your advice with the mouse turds.
Oh, yeah, she said mouse turds, Josh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Arrivederci, suckers.
Okay, bye. Guys, I kind of like the Russians. They drink some good vodka.
Cut to Congress, 1965. So what you're saying to me is that this sandwich here, y'all just disappeared without any signs, and all of a sudden crumbs just manifested themselves in the capsule? Well, where is this sandwich now?
Dude, you're so...
It's us. It's we.
No, dude, no.
The sandwich in question is currently, I don't know how they poop.
Mouse turds, dude.
Mouse turds, yeah. It's no longer, I'm going to say it's off world.
So you's telling me that this intergalactic lunch item is nowhere for you to be found. Is that what you're telling me?
I am telling you that we have taken steps to prevent reoccurrence of corned beef sandwiches in future flights.
Well, y'all can't argue with that. I pass a motion to move on to the next stage.
Hear, hear.
I think we were just able to talk political speak and tell them that aliens took it without actually telling them that aliens took it.
Dude, we are so smart. That's why we're astronauts.
Gemini!
Yeah, Gemini. What? I don't know, whatever. Mayflower's out there somewhere enjoying this sandwich. Wouldn't even hold together.
Thank you so much. I did not know half of that story, apparently. I thought I knew what happened to the sandwich in space. I was completely mistaken. Thank you.
It happens.
That must have been the first alien encounter.
Yeah. And wasn't it just, like, confirmed?
Well, it was the second alien encounter because the Russians had the first one, and they were kind of dicks. So we were the first good ones.
Right, right. I mean, we made peace with the sandwich, which, you know, it's important, you know. I saw it on X-Files, so it has to be true.
If you like Balderdash Academy Teacher's Lounge, see where it all began with Balderdash Academy. Watch real competitive comedy from a real fake school. Find us on YouTube or your favorite podcast service. Oh, faculty, it's great to see that you're actually all here in the teacher's lounge rather than at work. I need your help. My moment in history class is going incredibly well, but I want to talk about post-industrial revolution, and I figured I would focus on hermits, specifically garden hermits. Now, let me explain. This can be a little out there if you're not in the know. So in the late 18th century, early 19th century, the industrial revolution hit, and people wanted a way back to the ideal of that romantic pastoral life. So what they used to do, the rich would actually hire hermits these characters to live in caves or grottos on their property. And they would actually take out ads in local papers describing exactly what they want. I actually have an example of that. There was a guy named Charles Hamilton. He was an English politician, and he was looking for a hermit. And he wrote in the advertisement, where he shall be provided with a Bible, optical glasses, a mat for his feet, a hassock for a pillow, an hourglass for his timepiece, water for his beverage, and food from the house. He must wear a camlet robe, and never under any circumstances must he cut his hair, beard, or nails, stray beyond the limits of the grounds, or exchange one word with a servant. So he had these incredibly detailed directions to follow. So you're asking, okay, well, what does a hermit cost at this time period? Like, how much does this guy looking to make?
Yeah, really.
So bizarre, yeah.
So 700 guineas.
Oh, a lot of birds.
Is what was offered. Now, here's the thing.
Right? Pigs.
In today's money, 700 guineas is around $500,000.
Wow.
So,
dude.
And is this like per year or just total? Yeah. Like
in total. Here. But for $500,000, even if the guy stayed there for 5 years, that's still living well above what even the affluent the people of the time were making. So
could these hermits leave at any time, or were they contractually obligated?
They were contractually obligated to play this character on this property. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. That man in particular that answered the call to that ad only lasted a couple of weeks.
Mm.
Now, what happened is he wouldn't get paid a cent unless he followed every rule.
Oh.
So $500,000, and you can lose it by breaking any of those rules. So you'd imagine that somebody in that position where debtors' prisons existed, right, where we're talking Dickensian time period, where there was there was strife, there was poverty anywhere. It was illegal to be poor, essentially. You'd assume that the person who got this position would have done everything to keep it. Well, in this particular one, he lasted only 3 weeks because rather than follow all the rules, the hermit went out drinking and got caught. Okay. So here's the thing. I understand the concept of hermits. I understand the concept of the paid hermitage. I even understand the concept of wanting something enchanted on your property, a character that you could discover, your guests could discover, especially in these big English manor houses. What I want to know and what I need more detail in is what type of person would agree to be a hermit? How do you interview a hermit? Or even another angle would be, if you had that position, why would you risk losing it over a pint?
Crazy.
I don't know. Either one of those questions is valid for my class, and sure. I was hoping you could help me out here.
Oh, Reginald, darling. Darling.
Yes.
Reginald.
What? Yes, I'm here.
Oh, Reginald, I'm so bored in our extravagant estate. I don't even know where our children are. They're with Nanny somewhere, but it's so boring here. What can we do to liven it up? I mean, we could go to our other houses, but that's boring too.
Yes, it's almost like we're stuck in our own prisons.
Reginald, it's so true.
Now, Betty, I have heard through the grapevine that you can cast people almost as actors to play a hermit.
I like cocktail parties or whatever. Reginald, we've heard. Yes. We've done it. Cocktail parties, yes, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Except they live. They live here, dear.
What? What?
They live on the property. And you can wander across their beaten path from time to time.
Reginald, I'm sitting up for the first time in 3 weeks. We can have a hermit come and stay on our property and we can discover them. And now, our guests could discover. Oh, can we hunt them? I mean, this is all brand new. Look, I'm a little dizzy. I've sat up for the first time.
and we can put whomever we wish into this point. And we have very strict rules, you see. Much like Sir Walter Disney. Make sure they do not stray from them.
Right. Yes. Stroll. Don't stray. Sure. Good. Should I write these down, darling?
Absolutely.
Chambermaid, can you ring the little dingy dangy? Oh, here it is.
You call, ma'am.
Lucy. Yes, ma'am. Darling. Could you please take these notes down? We're talking about a hermit friend. Okay, go ahead, Reginald, go ahead.
First and foremost, no cutting of the fingernails.
No, or hair, may I add hair?
The fingernails or the hair?
Absolutely.
I cannot write, of course, ma'am and sir, but I will etch it in my memory, which is like a steel trap.
God, Lucille. Rather.
You're good for something.
Fine. Many things, as you said last night, sir.
Oh, Lucille?
Yes, ma'am.
Go away.
Yes, ma'am.
We'll talk about that later, Regina. First off, I will write it down. Leave your pen, Lucille. Thank you.
Let's have our butler do it. Butler!
Yes, as for me, sir? Oh, sorry, I thought you were the other butler.
Sorry, we come in pairs. There's two of us in this house.
Yes.
Head butler!
Yes.
Well, we each have a butler, so it makes sense that you come.
Right, Bob.
We would like you to take notes.
All right, I shall hold the pad, and the other butler will hold the pen.
Yes, it would be my pleasure.
Very good.
All right, so we have... Go ahead, Reginald. Go ahead, darling.
Now, we have long nails. Do not cut nails and do not cut your hair.
Do not cut it. We shall give them water.
Did someone call for a butler?
Oh,
look, Lord. Who it is.
Hello.
Oh, you guys are here already.
Yes. The master and the missus no longer want us to cut our hair or fingernails.
No, darling. This isn't for you. This isn't for you. You may sit in the third butler.
My three butlers. I love it.
Yes, my three butlers.
And we just need one hermit, you see, and that's what we're working towards.
Yes, we're going to add someone to the family, darling.
Ma'am, excuse me, I brought you your hermit.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, very good.
So, you just asked for a hermit, a cookie.
Oh, I love those biscuits.
All right, Lucille, darling.
Yes, ma'am.
Lucille, darling, thank you so much. These are delicious. Could you get me a spot of tea to go with it? And one for Reginald as well. Actually, for all the three butlers, too. Just a big pot.
Oh, thank you. That'd be lovely.
Yes, thank you, ma'am.
All right, okay. All right, everyone, listen to your sire. Go ahead, Reginald, darling. Take it.
So I think we've gone over the first rule quite well
enough. Yes, many times.
Yes. So moving on to rule number next is no public drinking. No
going out of your cave or your crevice or
I mean, for God's sakes. You're a hermit.
You're a hermit, darling. Yes. You can't see anyone. Okay, you live alone. We'll give them water, right, darling?
Right,
because
right.
That would be inhumane of us.
Right.
We might as well be French.
Okay. Ugh.
And then we'll give them we'll give them your camlet robe.
Yes. Oh, definitely. We will.
Because we don't want them to be groveling in poverty. I mean, we might as well give them suits.
They have a role to play.
Oh, you like playing roles, don't you, sire?
Sure, Lucille, bring them, darling. Go ahead, bring them too. All right, so butlers, do we have that written down? Great. Okay, so our wanted hermit ad, Reginald, correct me if I'm wrong, darling, and you, I know yes. you will.
Shall I read the list, Mum? So, none of the cleanliness. You must not leave your cave. You must stay on the property. You must be a hermit. And the master enjoys role-playing.
Reginald, I feel like that covers it, you darling.
Yes. Indeed. All right. Let's place that ad and
send it to the papers.
Send it to the papers.
Yes. Lucille, yes, ma'am. Please run this to the papers, darling.
Yes, ma'am, right away, ma'am.
It's 11 o'clock at night, but here's a lantern. You'll be fine.
Chop, 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 chop.
Cut to 3 weeks later.
Oh, what's that? Oh, Reginald, this might be one.
We have three butlers, dear. Why can't one of them get the door?
I know, you're right. I'm just so excited, darling.
Yes, hello.
Hi there. I'm a struggling actor from the United States.
Yes. The masters will see you. They're up in their study.
We must not appear too anxious.
All right, yes. Oh, Reginald, sorry.
Sir and Mum, we have an interviewee for the position.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. I'm a struggling actor from the United States. And I saw your ad, and it seemed like the role of a lifetime. Where can I get started?
Reginald, darling, I'll let you take it first, of course. Man of the house.
Before we move too quickly, could you please share your theatrical experiences with us? Tell us why you are the actor for this role.
Yes, do it.
Oh, sure, yeah. So I have played a pauper. I have played a street urchin. I have played a homeless scumbag. I have played a child laborer. I have played a down on his luck sailor. I have played Julius Caesar in a production of Shakespeare.
Reginald, if I may.
Please do.
Okay. Sir, are you willing to adhere by the rules that we have requested of you to, for instance, not cut your hair or your nails, nor go out in public?
Yeah, that all sounds good, but I can pop around to the pub and grab a pint every now and then, right?
No, that's incorrect, darling. You're a hermit. You may not leave the grounds. Is that clear?
So I could...
We need you Daniel Day-Lewis-ing this. We need you completely in the role.
Oh. Yeah. Sir, I played a pauper for several weeks. You can trust me to be the most professional actor you've ever hired.
Thank you so much, darling. If you leave your resume on the...
Oh, there's the French again.
Yes, you love how I said it. On the, you know, doorstop on your way out, we will be in contact.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
All right. Please bring in the next one. Oh, my goodness. He wanted to go out to the pub. What is that?
Yes. Mum, the next interviewee is here.
Oh, great. Next one. Send him or her in, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I'm here about the job.
You are. You're here for the Hermitage.
I'm here about the Hermitage.
Now, please tell us, my lady and myself, why you think you would fit well as a hermit on our estate.
Yes, please.
I've had many people tell me that I have no life at all, and I figured that if I was going to have no life at all, I should have no life at all and get paid for it.
He is disgusting.
Yes, he is certainly off-putting. Yes, so far so good.
Sir, have you washed in many days?
Oh, no, no, ma'am, no, ma'am.
Oh, really?
It's been some months since I last bathed.
Oh, that's promising.
I don't use any of those body sprays they use these days either.
Oh, I'd hope not, sir. Not in our hermit.
Now, allow a little bit of a, I don't know, let's say role play here. say I'm one of our guests, and I just come sauntering around, and I see you as the hermit on this estate, and I say, dear sir, are you a hermit on this estate?
Yes, I am a hermit on this estate.
Oh, darling, it's so scary.
Yeah, you're quite a sight, my friend. How about you and I go out for a pint?
I think a pint sounds wonderful, but it's against the rules. I probably shouldn't.
Oh, come on. The Lord of the Manor would not mind, I'm sure.
So, what if your lady likes you to come for a pint?
But you are the Lord and Lady of the Manor. I can't go out for a pint with you.
Oh, for Christ's sake. It's called role-playing.
Oh, role-playing. I forgot. Sorry.
Oh, did someone say role-play? Sir, did you want me to bring the gag and whip?
Just give us a few minutes, Lucille.
Yes, sir.
Lucille, go let's have a tea, please, to refresh her, if you will. Yes. Make yourself busy, darling.
A plate of rolls would be nice.
Yes. Go see that first applicant and see if he's still interested in the job.
I'm still here, miss.
I know. It's an interview process, darling. We're just...
Oh, I think you should consider anybody else, especially when I'm right here. It's kind of rude. I'm a hermit.
Betty.
Oh, I do like how you're being grouchy about it. Reginald, that is quite nice. He is playing the role.
He seems to be.
Hi, Amir, I'll spit on you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Reginald.
He's no Daniel Day-Lewis. He is.
Actually, my name is Day Daniel Lewis.
Day Daniel. I do believe, and Betty, please let me know if I'm off base, but I do believe that you have won the spot of our corner of our filthy heart, and you shall be our hermit.
And you shall now be known by Hermit of our Yorkshire.
Oh, say honest.
Oh, honest? Yeah, I'll say that.
Just one question before I accept your offer. How much does it pay?
Excuse me?
Oh, that's a great question. We forgot to even go over the logistics. Lucille, what?
I'm so sorry to interrupt, ma'am, but I heard you had made a hire. Where do you want me to put these 700 guinea pigs? They're biting me all over and they're rather nasty.
Guinea pigs? I love guinea pigs.
Get off me, darling. We little bastards.
Oh, put them in a pen and we'll feed them to the hermit.
Yes, ma'am.
Lovely.
Delightful.
Yes. Well, honey, put them in the past maid's quarters. Just lock the door.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Now that I've accepted your offer, let's go down to the tavern and have a pint, eh?
It didn't even last 2 weeks. Let's bring back the American.
Wow, thank you all so much. Now, I guess I didn't realize how ingrained into the class system of that time period this position was. Thank you for your insight.
Hey.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Hey guys, did we skip the orgy scene or what?
Yeah, it got real close though.
It's kind of weird. That.
I don't know. There was a ball gag, so
there was a ball gag over there.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Dashers. This is your headmaster reminding you that we are now booking live Balderdash Academy. If you want improv comedy, custom game show experiences, team building, and more, you can find us online at balderdashacademy.com. And don't forget to pick up Balderdash Academy merchandise in our school store while you're there.
Randy, thank you for assembling your students together. I know that we were talking about my moment in history class, and I would originally have the faculty kind of show me what it was like, but you suggesting that your students do it is such a better idea. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. They are so excited to do it. When I told them about it, they were all over it.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Am I right to know that you actually have a parent-teacher conference that you have to go to?
I do. I'm so sorry.
Okay. That's
They listen well.
Well, that's okay. I mean, I have six wonderful performing students here to help me. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Professor Hunt. Students, hi. Now, what I'm going to do is I need a new idea on how to present a concept to my class, my history class. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to just tell you what I'd like to see, and then I'd like for you to recreate it. All right, so
this is like an acting challenge.
Yeah, it's an acting challenge.
Okay, I love an acting challenge.
Yes.
Is it intermission yet?
Not yet, but
okay.
Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking. Let me tell you what we're talking about in history. We're going into World War II. Oh. In particular, we're looking around like 1940 to 41, and I mean, in all fairness, we're looking for new weapons that we could potentially deploy safely in the overseas theaters. And there was a dentist from Pennsylvania named Little S. Adams. I think his name is pronounced Little. His name, L-Y-T-L-E, Lytle, maybe? Little's more fun to say, so that's what I'm going to go with. So he was this dentist in Pennsylvania, and he went to Carlsbad Caverns National Park, and while he was there, he noticed that there were hundreds of bats. There were Mexican free-tailed bats, and they would live in the caves, and they'd fly out at night. And he noticed that these bats would roost before dawn, and they'd roost in crevices and nooks and crannies. And then he realized that most of the buildings in Tokyo were wood instead of concrete, and he got the idea. What he believed, and again, this was January in 1942, so this was right after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. We had just entered the war. And he wanted to know whether or not you could strap an incendiary bomb to the bats, release them, and then have them roost in these wooden buildings and then catch on fire and burn it down. Again, it wasn't the best time for humanity or animals. So he believed that if you put these time-release incendiaries on the back of bats, that you could burn Tokyo to the ground. Now, what's amazing about this, and this gives you an idea of where we were in 1942 at the beginning of the war, President Roosevelt
didn't laugh. He didn't throw the letter away. He approved it. And after government approval, it went into testing to see whether or not it was feasible. Now, at this point, we're not focusing so much on the development or the development after approval. What I want to focus on is from the moment that Adams had his idea and what that brain session might have looked like, or also of interest might be how President Roosevelt reacted when he was when he heard the idea. What was his mind thoughts around this? So that's really where I'd like to focus on in this project. So so what do you have? Let's hear it.
Okay.
Dibs the bat challenge, acting challenge of the year. Dibs the bat.
Hey, that's
what
that
sound like, right?
Echolocation. That's really good.
Thanks. Okay, I'll get ready for my entrance.
Cut to 1942.
President Roosevelt, the bats are here to see you.
Bring them in.
All right, bats, come on in. They want to present you with their idea.
Great, present away. We need to really get these bats to Tokyo.
Bats, tell them.
Okay, I'm Bat One. I'm the representative of these bats. And we have really strong backs. We're really strong back bats. And we can hold really, really heavy things on our backs compared to our size. So we've got these bombs that we can just put on our backs. Because they're strong back. We're strong back bats.
I'm Batman.
Okay, correct me if you're wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong or you're wrong. Correct me who's wrong here. But are you a Mexican free-tail bat?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Mind I'm strong backs.
I'm from Gotham.
Yes, strong back. And it's very furry, as you can see.
I shave my back.
His was very, very hairy.
I am Batman.
I'm bat number three, and I don't have any lines.
Way to ad lib.
All right. Somebody send Lytle. Little Lytle. I don't know. It's spelled L-Y-T-L-E. I don't know how to pronounce it. Can you send in Lytle Adams?
Yes, Mr. Roosevelt. Lytle. Lytle. Come
hey,
on in.
It's Lytle. It's French.
Hey, Lytle.
Yeah.
Did you just correct me, the president?
I'm sorry, Mr. President. Sir, all due respect. All due respect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mr. President, would you like me to dispose of Lytle? Do you want me to disintegrate them?
Wait, this was my idea. Give me a chance. Look, I have these three bats. I'm sure you're very impressed with them here. We got Batman. We got Mexican Bat. And we got Bat 3. We're working on Bat 3. And they've been doing some, little tiny weights. They've been working out, building up their back bat muscles.
I can look at these guns.
Look at them. Look at the little lips kissing the little guns.
Do they actually have guns? Because we need these bats to be armed, and we need them to infiltrate, and we need them. Sorry, I'm just so worked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a grappling hook.
He has a grappling hook. Also, we have little tiny bombs. Because I'm a dentist, I have access to little tiny pieces of equipment. I've actually taken tiny molars from dentures. I have placed incendiary bombs inside of the molars, and I have attached the molars to the back of the bat.
Those are my favorite kind of bombs.
It's the
Those
bomb.
Bombs are the bomb.
You said it, Mr. President.
Mm-hmm. You said it, beard, bat.
I'm Batman.
That freaks me out.
Mm. Oh.
I'm
Bat 3.
See, Bat 3, you're getting your voice. I knew you'd find it. Okay, just as another like pro for us bats, mm-hmm. not only are we fluent in English as we are speaking to you right now, mm-hmm. We've also been studying Japanese, but don't ask us to do any. We can only do it when we're actually in Japan. So we're going to fly there. I'm also really, really good at roosting.
I fake it.
Mr. Adams, I would like to see them demonstrate their roost and their deployment.
Sure, sure. For reasons that you, obvious reasons, I can't have the actual incendiary device go off because it's a one-time deal, right? This is a mission that they're dedicated to, and they know the risks.
There's only so many molars to go around.
Right. No, that's the tagline for my dentistry. That's great, sir. Come by. I'll give you a free cleaning any day. It looks like you need it. But anyway, I also specialize in Invisalign now. Come on by. Here's my card. Anyway, all right, let's get these little teeth strapped on. Right now. Roll around the little bellies. Little tiny
goat. That tickles.
Aw.
That's disgusting.
Sorry about the guano. Good thing is
that's my fault.
Yeah.
Sorry. They get nervous. Sorry about that.
I'm working on the potty training. Okay. Bat number three. Alfred how helps. We doing? Good? Got this? All right. Okay. All right. So they are strapped in. Let me
Wait a second. Wait a second. Miss Roosevelt's coming. She'll freak out if she sees these bats.
Oh, shoot.
She's going to freak out. Oh, man. Hold it. You got a ladle. Needle. Little.
Mr. Roosevelt, here's Miss Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Hi, honey. How are you today? I was just out in the rose garden. I brought you a rose.
Well, thank you so much.
What is all of the... Is this like a feces party?
It's back guano.
I don't know. Is that that? No, we're just redecorating. And I know that you always like to be in charge of the redecoration, but I just figured we're going to cue you in when it's time to do the big job.
Hi, I'm a doctor.
Oh,
orthodontist.
Hello.
Yeah,
I'm a first lady.
Hi, nice to meet you. Let me just give you this little rabies shot. Hold still. And good. Nothing to worry about.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry
ouch.
About that.
That was alarming. Okay.
It's his way of saying hello. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a tracking device.
Hi. I don't like all of your friends, honey. I'm going to leave you to it, but clearly the decorating needs a woman's touch. I'll be back later.
Okay, great. You can put the broom away.
I'll be watching you.
All right, students. That was amazing. I was almost in the Oval Office wondering what the hell happened myself. I mean, that was perfect. Thank you so much for your dedication to this project.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to play two fantastic characters.
I'm ready for president.
What a stretch.
You guys are really good.
A bat and a first lady. I'm amazing.
What's guano?
You're the queen.
Can I get some lines next time?
Balderdash Academy was produced and edited by Bob LeBlanc. Theme music by Think Fish Tank. Performed and written by Steve Corning, Carla Rose Dubois, Nate Green, Randy Hunt, Bob LeBlanc, Molly McGill, and Marie Stewart Harmon. Copyright 2021 Balderdash Academy. All rights reserved. Go Dashers!